Today is the first day in our new sermon series entitled Something Old and Something New. And throughout this series, we're inviting two voices of Scripture into conversation with one another. So this first reading this morning is from the book of Exodus. It is selections from chapter 20. I invite you, as I read it, to think about some of these questions and themes and ideas that we see here that Pastor Martha will pick up again, which Jesus picks up when we hear Matthew's gospel read in just a moment. So with that, hear now the word of the Lord. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 26, and this is Jesus speaking. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In our sermon series, Something Old and Something New, our hope as a pastoral and worship team is to help us better appreciate the deep and beautiful connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Our hope is to help us appreciate the whole of Scripture and to live more faithfully as disciples, even as we wrestle with some of the more difficult passages. We felt like Exodus, paired with the Gospel of Matthew, was a good place to start because the connections are so remarkable. These connections are why the early church placed Matthew first in the Christian canon, even though Mark was written before Matthew, as were a couple of other New Testament writings. The early church placed Matthew first because it picks up the thread, continuing God's creating and saving work from old. Today, we hear Jesus himself say, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill." So if we ever wonder what Jesus thinks, there it is. Jesus draws a direct line from the law and the prophets to himself, to his person and work. And as Jesus talks about this fulfillment, he does not do so by just, keeping the status quo. Jesus reinterprets. He calls his disciples to follow in his way, to live a life that exceeds even the most devout adherents of the faith. And Jesus teaches with authority. The Sermon on the Mount, of course, we read a portion of that a moment ago. The Sermon on the Mount is one of the most well-known of his teachings. And if we remember the larger context, we remember that it includes the Beatitudes, the who and what God blesses. The larger context of the sermon includes the Lord's Prayer and the teaching that we heard today that affirms the law and prophets. But Jesus takes it up a notch, saying, "You have heard it said, but I say unto you." He does this with things like, it is not enough just not to murder. Jesus calls us to keep our anger in check. Or if we have an issue with one another, Jesus says, "Work it out. Work it out before it gets too far out of our hands." Yes, there are so many connections. Moses is mentioned multiple times in this gospel, often named by Jesus himself, and the similarities between the two are significant. Both are considered deliverers, both givers of teaching and instruction. They both speak for God, represent God, mediate God, quite often from a mountain. Other similarities are evident even in the birth narratives of both Jesus and Moses have rulers who seek to kill them. Plus, even as Moses receives the instruction for this portable tabernacle, where God's going to be present, where God's going to dwell, this is a foreshadowing to Jesus. It shows that God's going to come down from heaven. God's going to come down from the mountain. God will be accessible in new ways. God will dwell with his people. There's an intimate and personal relationship at work. Sound familiar? Emmanuel, the incarnation. Jesus is not just some founder of a new religion, but rather is the continuation of how God has always been at work for good for us and for all of creation. Jesus is the fulfillment of long-awaited promises. Yet with this, Matthew and all the other New Testament writers make some things abundantly clear. Jesus is not just another prophet or rabbi. He's not just another Moses in a long line of successors. Jesus is the Son of God who embodies the kingdom, who fulfills all righteousness, doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Now we may say, well, of course we pay attention to the Old Testament, even if we struggle with some of the stories. Yet keeping the Old Testament and the Christian tradition was not always assumed. Even the early church had to work it out, or shall we say the early church had to defend against the heresy of dismissing the Old Testament. Yes, for a short season, there was a contingency who sought to eliminate the Old Testament entirely from the Christian way of life. This effort was led by a wealthy ship owner and merchant named Marcion, and he also wanted to eliminate most of the New Testament. His plan was to discard three of the four Gospels, keeping only a small portion of Luke, along with some of Paul's writings. The early church discerned very thoughtfully, and they vigorously opposed this as heresy, defending the Old Testament, defending the Gospels and the other writings. The early church discerned how valuable and important it was to hold together law and grace, to hold together the stories of creation and salvation. Difficult as some of the Old Testament is, where would we be without it? Without it, how could we make sense of God's work in this world? Where would we be without the eternal covenant God makes with us and all of creation? Where would we be without all the stories that show our need for grace and deliverance? The stories that call us to honestly wrestle with God. Where would we be without the prophetic word that calls us to embody God's care and concern and love and action for the oppressed? The word that calls us to remember, to return, to repent. The word that calls us to love God and neighbor. Where would we be without God's reassurance and forgiveness, or the Psalms, the prayer book of the Bible? Where would we be? Some of you know that God's calling upon my life is deeply rooted in the Scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament. My calling came over a several-year period. The very first scripture that was given to me as part of this calling came from Genesis 12:1, which says, "Go to a land I will show you." When that was given to me, I had no idea exactly what it meant or how all this was going to develop, but I knew it was a particular word at a particular time, and I needed to pay attention. A couple years later, the word pastor was given to me in worship, during Lent, during the singing of a Charles Wesley hymn that is deeply rooted in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. Scriptures that call us to be messengers of good news and God's peace. A couple more years later, God spoke to me with one of the pastoral letters saying, "The love of Christ compels us to live for Him." Where would we be without the richness of God's Word? Take a look at the quilt image that we are using for this sermon series. The worship team always gives a lot of thought to the images that are selected. Beth Dickerson, our communications director, and the whole team considered dozens of quilts before we all landed on this one. In addition to the magnificent pattern full of color and texture, I particularly appreciate the way the threads stitching it all together are so visible. They really stand out in a beautiful way. Now, we are not the first ones to think of a quilt to illustrate the fabric of our lives. One author, an Old Testament scholar, talks about how the book of Exodus is like that. He says it's a continuation of creation and covenant that begins in Genesis. To paraphrase, he says, "Exodus is a patchwork quilt of stories from various periods in Israel's life, interwoven with the law and priestly and covenant traditions, all foundational for the God-human dynamic and relationship. Even as God does battle against forces and regimes that threaten a holy way of life. Back to the quilt that we chose for this series. The threads that hold it together are very visible. Visible in the same way that God is made known to us in signs and wonders and deeds, and most especially made known to us in His only Son, Jesus the Christ, in whom God is pleased to dwell. In His cross and resurrection, God lovingly stitches us back together as individuals and as a community. God makes all things right, doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves, no matter how faithful we are to the law. Our good future is made possible because God's mercy and steadfast covenant love is with us and endures forever. May we give thanks for the whole of Scripture, responding with praise and thanksgiving and obedience. Amen.